mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, well, this is just in. I mean, it's an immense tragedy. A horrific act of violence and oppression. This is a hate crime on steroids. Did you hear it? Governor Pilate, what did he do? He took the blood of Galileans and mixed it with their sacrifices. A parallel in our day would be this. Imagine a group of federal agents storming a Lutheran congregation during a Sunday service. Without warning and with an intense malice, they open fire with their AK-47s, gun down the entire congregation, and then pour the chalice of the Lord's Supper over the dead, bloodied bodies. Why, you'd be outraged, wouldn't you? So why do such bad things happen to good people? That's precisely on the minds of those that came to Jesus to inform him of what Pilate had done to the Galileans. They are enraged, and they want Jesus to be enraged as well. Jesus, however, turns the tables on them. He does what no one ever expects. Isn't that interesting? That's the way he always works, isn't it? Typical Jesus. And so he asks them a question. Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? Did you catch that? Jesus goes after the way everybody thinks. And what is that? Well, it's this. Sin and suffering go together. Sin and suffering go together. That's what everybody thinks. In other words, those who sin, what should happen to them? They should suffer. Those who are suffering, they must have sin. That's how Job's three friends assessed Job's life tragedies. He must have sinned. And that's how our Lord's disciples evaluated a blind man's situation with this question. Who sinned? This man or his parents? Jesus ignores all of that. He goes for the jugular, the heart of the matter. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Whoa! And he goes on, and I'm going to paraphrase. Forget about the Galileans and Governor Pilate for a minute. What about the tower in Siloam? All of a sudden it just collapsed. No warning. Boom! And the wreckage, what happened? It killed 18 people. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, Jesus says. And then he goes for the jugular. But unless you perish, or you repent, you will all perish. Do you see what Jesus is doing with all of us today? Do you see the kind of savoring care that he's giving you with these words? The correct response to death, whether it's by political oppression, natural disaster, falling towers, diseases, or anything else that you can think of, is what? What is the correct response to death? Repentance. It's the R word that no one dares to speak. Repentance. But Jesus does speak it. Death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. I know you're shocked, but it's the truth. Do you know what the worst thing that can happen to you? What is it? It's damnation. Death, however, is the sign that things are not right between you and God. The wages of sin is death. And unless you repent, you will be worse off than those Galileans in the temple or the 18 killed by the falling tower in Siloam. Brothers and sisters, repentance is the end of all questions, all self-justifications, and all the spinning of the self. The issue is not this: why do bad things happen to good people, or why do they happen to the wrong people? The issue of God's justice, the issue is this: God's justice or his mercy. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins will die. That's God's justice. The gift of eternal life is Christ Jesus. That's God's mercy. God hates sin, and so he puts to death the old sinful nature. That's his justice. God forgives sin and justifies the sinner in the death of Good Friday Jesus. That's his mercy. And so Jesus calls you to repent today. You are to be repented. Unless you repent, he says. And so it is time to be changed in your mind, to have a different perspective on things and on yourself. You see, repentance is a shift. It is a shift from God's justice to God's mercy, from law to gospel, God's justice to God's mercy. The people that came to Jesus were dealing with him in the way of the law, shaking their fists and questioning God's justice. How could God allow these poor Galileans to die? How could he let his holy temple be desecrated like that? Well, under God's justice, people get what they deserve. What does that mean for you then? Do you really want God to give you what you deserve? Do you? I sure hope not. Because if you do, what will you get? It will be damnation. So this is what God does. He has mercy. God's mercy is his Son, Jesus Christ, who willingly takes what we sinners deserve. On the cross, Jesus was damned in our place, made to be a curse, Galatians 3 says. And so to repent then, brothers and sisters, is that you no longer deal with God according to his justice. You don't need to plead before him how good you are or how deserving you are. Instead, you simply do what? You repent. You change your mind and you deal with God according to his mercy. Confessing that you are no better than the Galileans slaughtered in the temple or those poor saps that were crushed by the falling tower. You know, once you saw God only as judge and you saw yourself as a good person who deserves justice. But now that has changed. You repent. Your mind has changed. Your viewpoint has changed. You now see God as Savior, Good Friday Jesus, and yourself as sinner, begging for his mercy and forgiveness. So, brothers and sisters, the tension between God's justice and God's mercy is then illustrated by Jesus himself in the parable of the fig tree that we heard today. A man has a fig tree, planted it in his garden. For 3 straight years, he came looking for figs, but he finds none. In frustration, the owner, who represents God's justice, says, "You know, this tree is worthless. It hasn't produced a thing. It's a waste of good soil, so I'm going to cut it down." That's how it is with the law of God's justice. You produce or you die. But the gardener who represents God's mercy says, "Wait just a cotton picking minute. I've got another idea. Let's leave it alone. Let's leave it alone." You know, once a week, it's usually on Tuesdays, I get together with a bunch of pastors and we study the Greek of the text that we preach. And lo and behold, do you know what the literal word in Greek is for this? It's not leave it alone, it's let's forgive it. Let's forgive it. I'll dig around its roots, I'll apply some fertilizer, and let's see what happens. You see, that's how it is with God's mercy, the gospel. It works like this: forgive and feed. Apply bigger doses of grace upon grace. So again, what am I getting at today in the sermon? Here's what I'm getting at. There are 2 distinct ways of dealing with a fruitless fig tree. You either destroy it or you forgive it and feed it. Justice or mercy? Law or gospel? Now, if you were that faithless fig tree, which of the 2 ways would you prefer? How would you want God to deal with you? Do you want him to give you what you deserve? Or Do you want him to give you the forgiveness that Jesus won for you in his bloody death on the cross when he answered for all your sin? Now, Jesus purposely leaves the parable open and vague, open-ended and vague. We don't know how it ends with the fig tree. Now, I know what you read on the translation on the back of your bulletin, but it doesn't quite get it right when it puts things on an annual timetable. The gardener literally says in the Greek to the owner, if it bears fruit in the future, not next year, that's not in the Greek. The translation is bad. So here's how it really should be. If it bears fruit in the future, that is to say in the open-ended future. But if not, well, I guess you can cut it down. The point is that Jesus doesn't set a timetable. He's willing to come back again and again, year after year, digging, fertilizing, watering, tending that fruitless fig tree. That's God in his mercy. And his mercy says, you are forgiven, take and eat, take and drink, be forgiven and fed, live by my mercy and not by your merit. So brothers and sisters, when Jesus calls you to repentance today, he's calling you to be given to by God in his mercy, to be given his forgiveness. When Jesus repents you, he throws you off your high horse and throne and puts you on your knees, ready to receive from him, to be passively given to by the Lord. Yes, when Jesus repents you, he breaks your heart wide open to receive all of his Good Friday mercy. Well, it's the fruitless fig tree that gets all the attention. The fruitless fig tree is the focus of the gardener's rich mercy. What is the salvific advantage of being a fruitless fig tree? It's this, that you're forgiven. You get fed by Jesus himself, who died for you, the sinner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.